A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Hello! And welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Tuesday, March 28th of 2023. I am Paul Gallant, and as Mr. Voiceman himself said, this is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. One, you can jump aboard the way that Mr. Voiceman said himself on the HRNP listener line. You can also join us in our always toxic Twitch chat, which is currently roasting me for coming back from Florida without a tan, twitch.tv/ESPN975, or on Twitter at Gallant Says, at ESPN975, at Sean A. Mapes. Sean was holding the fort down the last couple of days as I took a trip to Florida to see my mom and my dad, who both live there, but with other significant others. That's fun. Was it fun, Sean, on Friday and on Monday? Because I know Fred Davis was in. I know Patrick was in yesterday. I'm assuming Fred banged the table a lot. Did he break it? The seat I'm sitting in right now not working. I don't know if that could have been Patrick or is it the wheelhouse, guys? I don't know. How was house sitting?
It was good. No, Fred he only broke the mic at one point.
Well, that was to be expected.
Yeah, because he does a lot of the, like, moving
yeah,
it around.
Yeah, he moves it all over the place.
And I forgot to tell him, like, hey, try not to do that.
Hey, don't break the stuff.
But yeah, other than that, it was all right. No, actually, including that, it was exactly what you think Fred Davis was. It was great.
I miss Fred.
Great energy on a Friday, and yeah, PC holding down on yesterday.
Big thanks to those two for stepping in. I'm big fans of both of them, and of course, you can hear PC late hits 7 to 9 here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sean, they're saying I'm not tan. I am tan. I am 2 shades dark whiter.
Yeah, now you're more like eggshell instead
of
just white.
Exactly. I'm not vampire. I'm eggshell. I appreciate you for noticing because some people can't appreciate it. It's hard for us Irish people out there, you know? People talk about all the oppressed people of the world. The Irish been oppressed for a while, and they're mostly oppressed by the sun. Hey, guys, last night was a beautiful welcome home present to Houston. You know, sometimes great plans come to fruition. And all I can do is give a tip of the hat to a team in town that, you know, has been doing their absolute best for you to give you an incredible future. And I'm, of course, talking about the Houston Rockets. I mean, bravo, guys. You got to give them credit because after last night's loss, they have mathematically clinched one of the NBA's 3 worst records. So there's still some debate over how far the Rockets could theoretically fall in the draft. And now they just have to out-tank the Spurs and Pistons so that they can't pick any later than 5. That's what you get if you're the worst team in the NBA, a 14% chance at the number 1 pick, and you can't pick later than the 5th overall pick. You know what? Good job, guys. And I know that Raphael Stone got a lot of crap, a lot of it from me, about not having a plan. But the plan was there. And you know, just like we dumped on the Houston Astros for tanking for 4 years, yeah, it led to a couple of World Series, whatever, we have to be, well, I guess looking at this through a different lens because it worked for the Astros. Of course, it's going to work for the Houston Rockets. And I'm just glad that these words of wisdom from Tillman Fertitta, we finally are getting closer to having our prayers answered.
Okay, well, I know we're not going to talk business, so I'll just say, go Rockets.
Hey, absolutely. We got, thank God we got 10 days off.
Thanks so much.
Pray for Victor.
Yes, happy Mardi Gras.
Pray for Victor. That's not sacrilegious at all on Mardi Gras, which in of itself is the most sacrilegious thing, I think, that we Catholics do. But pray for Victor. So, congratulations. Sean, can we get some ambience? Because I think the Rockets need to be praised for the depths to which they dove to ensure that they would get a 14% chance at the number one overall pick. What a plan. Who can forget all the times that Deshaun Nix was on the court? An incredible performance in how to be a point guard? Question mark. Who could forget the times that Steven Silas got absolutely no development out of Jalen Green? I guess you could argue he got some out of Jabari Smith Jr. That's been fun the last couple of weeks. But I mean, this team went into the year thinking to themselves, we're just not even going to get a point guard. Who cares about passing? Who cares about watchable basketball? Who cares about making anybody better? It's all about losing as many games as possible so that you can get the 14% chance at the number one overall pick and a French guy in Victor Wembanyama. I'm so thankful. I mean, Sean, the things that I know you watched as the real basketball mind of this program, the things they did, the just openness with which they were terrible. It was something else, man.
Yeah, it really was. It was a great time. I'll always have, you know, loving memories of watching all these guys, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, Deshaun Nix try to throw the Celtics game.
One of my favorite parts.
Or Deshaun Tate. Sorry.
Deshaun Tate.
Deshaun Nix is single-handedly responsible for the Miami Heat loss.
Listen,
which, again, look at these ping pong balls. Thank God for that.
Each team has an MVP at the end of the year. And Deshaun Nix is the Rockets
guy. He really is.
Right. It's not about development. It's about a 14% chance at the number one overall pick. By the way, it's 14%. So, I mean, it's not really a lock. So some might say, hey, that's not really a plan. That's just literally mailing it in for a year and hoping it all works out. And sometimes it does. You know, sometimes you don't put any effort into anything and it just all goes great for you. Maybe you got a guardian angel or it's just luck shining down on you. But now comes the difficult part, and people are already coming after me because they're saying, hey, Paul, you don't have faith. You've talked about this before. Well, I realize I have to have faith. So to add a little ambience, you know, for anyone who's been to a Catholic church, you'd recognize this music that's about to play in the background. It is time for us to pray for Victor. Victor Wembanyama, please be drafted by the Rockets. I hope that 14% chance of the number one overall pick works out. Tillman Fertitta hasn't dragged a franchise and sent it back into the Stone Age. So hopefully his prayers will be answered. And there we are. Yeah, they got it, guys. So everyone who wanted it, congratulations. You know, I think we should all give each other warm handshakes, warm embraces. And it has me wondering, like, what are some of the worst plans in the history of the world? Because now that I'm done being sarcastic and an a-hole, this wasn't a plan. It wasn't. And I know if we take a look back in time at the Houston Astros as they gradually built themselves up, they tanked. And yes, they got some really good pieces as a result of tanking. Carlos Correa, Alex Bregman.
Mark Appel.
Brady Aiken. It's not like the tanking was the main reason that things changed for them, right? Jose Altuve became an MVP. Dallas Keuchel became a Cy Young Award winner. Lance McCullers, I think he was like a borderline first-round pick. He's been really good for them, but you know, it was moves like signing Yuli Gurriel, like signing a Charlie Morton, Michael Brantley along the way, or robbing the Dodgers blind with the Yordan Alvarez trade. Tanking does help, but as a plan, as a whole, does it deserve the praise that it gets, especially given that it's going to turn you off from the sport entirely along the way? I don't think it should. I think it's immoral. I especially think it's immoral in football. And I mean, credit to the Texans who, you know, yeah, they were tanking weeks 1 through 17, but at least in week 18, they woke up. I just don't like tanking as a whole. I don't like having your entire strategy based off of tanking. I think it's a bad plan. Some other bad plans. Historically, we'll discuss them. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Someone asks, is Rachel Maddow guest hosting today? Yeah, the hair is cresting very high. I do look a lot more like Rachel Maddow. Josh Innes used to say that I looked like Rachel Maddow all the time. Is that why I grew out a beard? Because I was sad and crying every night when I got home? I can't say. Stick around. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Don't go anywhere.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston. A text on the HRP listener line. It's not sacrilegious to pray for Victor Wembanyama. It's only sacrilegious if you pray to Victor Wembanyama. Oh, okay. Okay. Will I do that with Tom Brady? I know that that's gotten me in trouble with some people, specifically my family, from time to time. But now they just collectively shrug at the loss of faith that I've had. Another text. Paul, you are tripping. Stop the chanting, do better. Nothing triggers me more than do better and be better. You'll see that online every now and then. Be better. What do you mean by be better? It's so subjective. Have you ever gotten a be better, Sean, online when you've had a hot take out on those mean internet streets?
No.
You haven't?
Okay. No, I think, I mean, because I'm already so good, you know, I can't really be better.
That is true. I will say, your Twitter is very good. We need to blow it up. At Sean A. Mays behind the glass. Yeah. I feel, you know, now that I'm back, that we would have something more to work with as far as the Houston Astros go. I know that the latest as far as right now is people are wondering who's going to make the opening day roster. Is Justin Durden going to actually get a chance? Because it seems like Michael Brantley's going to be out until late April. Funny how injuries go from being, yeah, ready for opening day to, oh, might be gone several months with the Houston Astros. I know there's no deal from Dana Brown that involves a Framber Valdez or a Kyle Tucker. Ooh, we got 3 years. Well, you were so braggadocious about it, Dana Brown, a little bit ago. But I just want to get this damn season started. I think a lot of you guys are on the same page. And I'm not really sure how interesting speculation is about guys that we haven't actually been able to watch on a daily basis. And I'd specifically point to Durden. Seems like he's fun. I'd rather see him out there than Jake Myers, much like I'd rather see David Hensley at second base than Mauricio Dubon, because I like bats over defense, but it seems like Dubon's probably going to be your opening day starter too. What does that mean? Honestly, who's to say? But with Jose Altuve out for a long period of time, I'd rather see more Hensley than Dubon. Dubon's just considered to be the better fielder. We were talking in the last segment about the worst plans ever. I got to say that the Rafael Stone plan to be bad enough to get a 14% overall pick at the what seemed like cost of development over the course of this year, where Jabari Smith Jr. is really of late the only guy that has shown like, oh, wow, he's making a leap. And I'm excited about Jabari Smith now, you know, but we saw the same thing from Jalen Green down the stretch last year. I don't want to make too much of it because this is a weird time of year where guys like Damian Lillard are getting shut down, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But some of the worst plans ever. Here's one, because you know your boy, Mr. Hardcore History, shout out Dan Carlin, likes him a little bit of history. The South fighting the North. Guys, it was a bad plan. It always was. There's more people up there, and they had the industry. Pearl Harbor. Have you ever listened to a podcast talking about Japan's plan for Pearl Harbor? Essentially, Japan thought to themselves when World War II began, hey, we just have to destroy the entire American fleet at Pearl Harbor. And essentially, the guy who led the actual raid, I believe Yamamoto, told the emperor, dude, this isn't going to work, give or take. I don't know if it was quite as casual as that. But he said, yeah, there's no chance of this working. Well, you got to do something. Okay, so they did it, but a lot of the American fleet was not at Pearl Harbor, so it wasn't a complete success. And, of course, the U.S. obviously eventually won. They were always going to eventually win, though. Every invasion of Russia in the winter. Napoleon did it. Whoops. Hitler did it. Whoops. Those are bad plans. Is Raphael Stone's plan of being really bad, not really pushing things along in the right direction, trying to get that 14% chance at the number one overall pick? Some of the rumors we're hearing about how the Rockets might be interested in Ime Udoka as potentially their next coach.
Now that's a plan.
Do we want to talk this one out, Sean?
Yeah, sure.
So here's the thing about Ime Udoka. Obviously, I have no idea what went on behind the scenes. And I am not going to also at the same time say I'm morally bankrupt. I don't know what you do without knowing all the facts. And I'm not sure how many of the facts are ever going to see the light of day, because it seems like the Celtics and him reached some sort of agreement where he's gone. We're going to keep things under wraps to protect you and everybody else involved as best you can. I will say this about Ime Udoka, though. When they went, the Celtics, from Brad Stevens to Udoka, Udoka was a hard ass, and I feel like that is the perfect, hey, Steven Silas, good guy, good coach. Now we get bad guy, bad coach, like really bad, bad off the court, bad on the court, to motivate the players. How about that?
Yeah, no, that is, other than bad guy off the court, which allegedly,
yes.
But, yeah, that's mostly, yeah, because he went in there and kind of whipped the Celtics into shape and got them to the finals. He is the absolute, like, 10 out of 10 version of what you would want out of a new coach for the Rockets. You want someone, I mean, that's why I would be okay with just hiring, like, a retread, like, veteran head coach, just because it's like, yeah, hey, guys, we're going to, like, play real basketball now. And Ime Udoka is so much better than that. Like,
yeah.
The only reason he's available is because of the off-the-court stuff, which, of course, like, you hope there's nothing, like, super bad there. I trust Tillman Fertitta to see all the facts and make the right decision?
Well, listen, the plan has just been so great to get that 14% chance, Sean. I trust it.
I trust Tillman Fertitta to get all the facts and decide to hire him anyway.
Yeah.
Like, a lot like Ole Miss basketball hiring Chris Beard. I trust that we can be the Ole Miss basketball.
Well, you know, Sean, what my mother said a couple of weeks ago. Like,
yeah.
You're running out of options. Okay?
Yeah, she didn't say that to me. Just to be clear.
No,
yeah.
she would never. She loves you. She absolutely loves you. I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I had a great weekend visit with her. We got a text, and it is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. This was the text that I didn't finish. Did you take your girl on vacation with you? Guys, I wasn't, like, it was a first date. It was a first date. I'm going to take her to Florida to meet my family? Good God, people. Oh, by the way, follow up on that. Not good. Not good, guys. The Riz, I guess, was lacking. I'll give her credit. She actually communicated as to why she doesn't see things working out. I am feeling more of a friend connection with you. How is it that I'm always perceived as being...
That's good. That's good.
Sean, stop. I'm always perceived as being, one, gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that. That's by the listening audience. Or two, a friend. Sean, we're on like five straight.
You need to be less friendly.
Should I just be an ass?
Yeah, you know what you need. Well, never mind.
I want to know now. Do I need help from Ime Udoka?
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
Some coaching?
That's what I was going to say.
Some hard coaching from Ime Udoka. Yeah. Well, that means I would
hang out with Coach Udoka.
I'd have to date an intern. And sadly, Sean, no. I mean, I don't know. Do we have interns right now?
We have a few, yes.
Hey, let's mute this so the HR and people.
Okay, hold on.
Are there any lady interns? Are there?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. I'm kidding on that front, by the way. No, we're just volume shooting in this dating game right now, guys. We are volume shooting. Got a date
Jalen
tonight.
Green.
Got a date tomorrow night. Yes, 100% Jalen Green. Dude. Totally different people. We're back on the apps. We're out and about.
And you're 7 for 22.
We're not even that good. we're like Philip Seymour Hoffman in Along Came Polly. Let it rain, clank. But hey, you get back up on the horse and don't let that crippling depression take over and make you feel bad about yourself. But anyway, guys, I mean, look, this is where we're at in the Houston sports world until because of the Cougs losing over the weekend. That was depressing on Friday. And UT losing as well. I know that was rough for you, Sean, too. It is a kind of boring Final Four, even though it is here in town. Whatever, guys. Like, I don't care about any of these schools, except for I hate UConn. That's it. That's my really take on the Final Four. But we're kind of at a point where this Gwyneth Paltrow trial, which is sports. It's sports. She was skiing. She allegedly crashed into a guy. The guy claims that he has, like, been injured. This trial's fascinating. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of other things going on. Like, we had another shooting, goodness gracious, a tornado. But Gwyneth Paltrow and the trial of the century about who was at fault for that ski accident. I mean, this is probably better than sports right now. And get a load of Gwyneth Paltrow. She's such a kind lady. And what she tried to pull in court.
Private security for my client wanted to bring in treats for the bailiffs for how helpful they've been. So I wanted to do that transparently and see if there are any objections.
You object.
Okay. There's an objection.
Okay, so I will let them know.
Let them know, thank you, but no thank you.
Actually, both ways, not just one way.
Well, you could bring in treats.
Well, okay. Okay. If the parties decide to do that later, that's fine, too.
Okay. I mean, you should have asked us first.
It hasn't been done.
I know. You should have asked us first. We could talk about it, but you just sprung on us now. So we object.
What did you find out about the jury?
What a dumb thing to get to argue over. And this is, look, lawyers got a lawyer, okay? They're argumentative people by nature. One of my buddies who listens to the show is the most argumentative person I know. I think he actually would be a very good sports talk show host. Constantly getting arguments. And I'm like, dude, I'm not even arguing with you. I'm agreeing with you. We constantly get in arguments over things. Lawyers love to argue about dumb stuff. Limnos on the Twitch said she testified that she lost half a day of skiing. Well, that's a lot. Skiing's expensive, even for Gwyneth Paltrow.
I wouldn't want whatever treats Gwyneth Paltrow is going to give me. I imagine.
I know why that's.
I imagine they're not. Well, I imagine they're not going to be like Skittles. They're going to be like orange peels or something.
You know what? That's a very nice way of dodging around what Gwyneth Paltrow's main gig is these days. I think it would. I think it would be a different scent, flavor, if you will. But that's just me. You can look it up for yourself. We're not going to go. This is a family show.
Yeah, I don't imagine it's going to be like sweet treat. I imagine it's going to be more salty tasting. But I you're right, Paul? Also, I don't understand how if she hits you, you get hurt. Isn't her whole deal how like tiny she is?
I actually don't know what her size is. But look, ski accidents happen. You have to be careful. Technically, the person who is in front has the right of way. Because obviously, it's not like you're skiing down a mountain with rear views. I will say this. The people who mess it up the most, as someone who skis from time to time, bougie life, snowboarders mess it up the most. Because snowboarders will just sit down out of nowhere in the middle of the... And, you know, it's not as easy to stop if you're on skis. It's not. So snowboarders make it dangerous, but honestly, it is whoever collided with her, whoever bumped into who from behind. The problem is, like, what, is there video evidence of this? If there's no video evidence, this is just stupid.
So in your, as the ski master general,
ski master general.
Here, your legal findings would be that Gwyneth Paltrow in the clear.
I think she's in the clear, yeah.
Okay.
Well, look, she got the bailiff's treats.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't know what kind of treats, but they are treats.
Are they from Goop?
Probably. And I got to say, Sean, big picture, it sounds like this guy sucks. You know, he just sounds like he's after money. It seems like dragging this out. What is this? Like 3 years ago. Like, I get it. Suing is the American way, but it does feel kind of ridiculous. Anyway, free Gwyneth Paltrow. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That was sports. That was skiing conversation. Coming up next, everyone is angry at D'Amico Ryans over this. He finally told his side of the story. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set, punch.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. On the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, where, yes, we've spent a lot of time talking about Gwyneth Paltrow this morning. That was sports. It's skiing. You don't recognize skiing as a sport? Oh, I guess you just hate the elites of our country. The bougie people, they're people too.
Yeah, ever heard of the Olympics?
Yeah, that's a thing. Do I watch it? No. Could I? Sure. We did have a question about the date tonight. Is everyone in Houston in Pilates? There's like this Pilates Illuminati going on where... Lots.
Paluminati.
Yeah, but I think you got to get the Pilates Illuminati. It sounds like it rolls off the tongue a
Illuma
little bit
better. Pilates.
Illuma Pilates would work too. Actually, yeah. I think Illuma Pilates better. Okay. There's an Illuma Pilates. It's going on. I think there's so many women who do Pilates as like, and I'm like, wait, is this a full-time job? Does this actually pay? Could I do this? Pilates on the side? I don't know. She's a Pilates instructor. So we will see. We will see where it goes.
Are you going to have the same dilemma that you had during the World Baseball Classic that you'll need to find a way to get in front of a screen to watch Hornets Thunder tonight?
Oh, well, that's important.
Playing game implications.
Listen, yeah, this is... Well, also... Oh, yeah, because the Hornets... The Rockets are so bad that with six games to go, because the Hornets have 25 wins... Yeah. The Rockets clinched one of the worst three.
Yeah, the Hornets have seven more wins than the Rockets. Oof.
Yeah, you know what? Playing game, I guess. We'll see. Maybe will the sports gods strike down upon me again? I don't know. Anyway, D'Amico Ryans was under some fire online with the Texans Twitter community over not going to the pro days of CJ Stroud. Also, Bryce Young, Will Levis, Anthony Richardson's is this week. Here's what D'Amico Ryans had to say about that when confronted.
Over the pro days, we had guys who were there. We had our scouts who were on the roads, guys who were there that we trust. We've watched our guys on film, guys that, and we've evaluated all the quarterbacks, all of the linebackers, D linemen. So we're watching all the players. So we have. It's not going to the pro day is not a knock. We had guys who were there.
What do you think about Young and Stroud?
Two good players. Two good quality quarterbacks. We'll see what happens in the draft.
You have top 30 visits with them coming up? Both those guys?
Yes, we do have. We have visits scheduled with those guys as well. And that's part of it as well. With the pro, it's only the pro day is one part of it, right? We have the combine, which we've met with guys. We have pro days, we have 30 visits, we have film, so it's all encompassing when we're evaluating players.
You know, he's gonna meet with them, and people were mad that you're not going to the pro day to watch them. what are you going to learn that you don't already know about those quarterbacks at a pro day? Other than saying, oh, Bryce Young's actually 6 feet tall per Alabama. Oh, Bryce Young's also 220 pounds? Wait, what? And you would get the same kind of stuff with C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud runs a 4.140, huh? Pro days, and we discussed this the last time Sean and I were together. It's essentially a way for college programs to flex their schmenzer. That's all it is. This is not a big deal that they missed out. And you know what? I think for the rest of the week on Twitter, if anyone is critical of the Texans for not having gone, I'm just going to tell them to be better. I might just respond to a bunch of people without context saying be better this week, like as a way to cut down on my Twitter time and to make Twitter a more miserable experience for everyone else in protest of me having to pay $8 to keep my blue check mark.
Yeah, just anything you disagree with, just comment like on just be better. Just anything on Texans Twitter this afternoon, just anytime someone's like, you know who I think they should go after with 12, just be better.
I think I'm just going to tweet that at Elon Musk. Be better. We get it. You're desperate. You're running out of money.
Be better.
Be better. I might get Twitter blue because it is nice to post videos that are longer than 2 minutes and 20 seconds. That is legitimately the only reason, though. And because I don't know how to proofread my tweets. There's actually that. But to keep the blue check mark, the blue check marks are dumb. I'll even admit it. Like, it's cool that I have one, but what? Has that gotten me a significant other? No. They think I'm a friend.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what Miss Pilates thinks.
That's true.
Well, if you casually bring it up, like,
I got
man,
a blue check mark, baby.
I was thinking about it. I was going to have to spend that $8 a month to keep my blue check. Oh, keep your blue check mark.
Oh, why don't you come back to my place right now? She sounds like that. Lamar Jackson politely requested a trade yesterday. He said, the Ravens have not been interested in meeting my value in contract talks. I love the game of football. My dream is to help a team win the Super Bowl. The Ravens are great, but I had to make a business decision that was best for my family and me. No matter how far I go or wherever my career takes me, I'll continue to be close to my fans of Baltimore Flock Nation and the entire state of Maryland. You'll see me again. Classy, and guess what? I empathize with both sides here. I get why the Ravens don't want to pay him all that fully guaranteed money, but I also get why Lamar Jackson wants all that fully guaranteed money. But the NFL has been doing some weird bureaucratic stuff over the last couple of days. They sent out a memo to let them know that the NFL Players Association has seen this man by the name of Ken Francis. And since he's not an NFLPA certified agent, he's not allowed to contact teams to start negotiations. But he's been doing that. Ken Francis is a Florida man. Whoa, like that's a bad thing. I'm a Florida man. I identify as Floridian as of late. Yeah, because I went to St. Pete this weekend. As of this weekend, I was Floridian, Sean. You know, my identity changes from time to time.
That's okay.
You're allowed to change your identity up, guys. You could be an owl. On a hawk. There's a girl who identifies as a hawk on TikTok. She's developed quite the following. That might be
TikTok.
TikTok. That's right, Sean. That might be the next evolution of the Paul Gallant show. The NFL media is trying to smear him. This is a tweet from Tom Pelissero. Ken Francis is a Florida man. That's racist. Who most recently was pitching a home fitness invention, portable all-in-one gym, which, by the way, great idea. I'm in, I'm told. He is now trying to negotiate a 9-figure contract with NFL teams who are being told they're not allowed to negotiate with him because he's not a certified agent. Why does he have to be certified? This is like if you're trying to run a small business and you need like a license. Dumb. I hate that. Bureaucracy, man. Ruining our country. Hashtag thanks whoever is our current president. Just the joke continues.
Just insert thanks here.
Right. That way I can remain apolitical. Bill Belichick spoke at the NFL's owners meetings and he was in rare form. Oh, boy. I love it when Bill Belichick talks with the media. He sits down to begin this press conference. Someone from the NFL network puts an NFL microphone in front of him. He immediately pushes it a foot away from him. It was just a beautiful sight to see. Belichick was asked this about Thursday night football games.
Do you have any view on flexing Thursday night games?
It doesn't really matter what I think.
Yes, it does.
My favorite part is the pause afterwards and you hear it. So, even better. Somebody had the balls to ask Belichick why they should be optimistic after an 8-9 season, and with the Patriots at 70-1 odds to win the Super Bowl, the longest they've been since 1993 when it was 100-1. I mean, it was even 50-1 in 2001. Yikes. This is what Belichick had to say in response to this person asking about optimism.
And what would you say to them to give them a reason to be optimistic for what's ahead for the Patriots?
The last 25 years?
I think most of you know me to be the biggest Patriots bobo there is in Houston, Texas. But even that's annoying to me. I love his press conferences. It's not just the short, curt, I don't want to be here answers. It's the long pauses afterwards as everyone looks around collectively with a sheepish look, wondering who should ask the next question that's going to get no answer. He held court for 30 minutes there. It was beautiful now that I'm through it. And now that I felt like the worst part about that was trying to find that specific clip and watching through a 30-minute Bill Belichick press conference because I know what's going to happen. But that's a great line by Belichick. I got to say, though, it's wearing thin even on me. I'm very thankful for Bill Belichick's existence, but last year was a bleeping disaster, and it was him that brought Matt Patricia back.
Was 20 of the 30 minutes just like long extended pauses?
And yes.
Okay.
I think there was more dead air in that press conference than there was actual questions asked and answers received. Bill Belichick, everybody. It's the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Next, I did not get to weigh in on the end of the Cougars season Friday night. It's a disappointing season. I know we want to be nice to the Cougars. I love this team, but man, it just feels like a wasted opportunity. So we'll talk about that. Maybe you disagree on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at TGS Insurance, because insurance rates are skyrocketing right now. The crazy inflation's making everything more expensive, including your home policy. And some customers have had 30, 40, even 50% increases before making the switch to TGS. Why do so many listeners make the switch to TGS? Because it's fast, easy to save money with their instant quoting system that shops the market and delivers you savings in 15 seconds. You can't afford to wait any longer. The time to save is right now. So grab that phone and text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask you for your address. You send it back. You'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. TGS now has over 2,000 five-star reviews, and their average customer from 2022 is still saving over $800 on their home insurance. Simple, fast, easy, big savings. It's the TGS insurance way. Let them work for you today. One more time, text MONEY to 232323 to get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Let's go. Fun. Sports. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
I suppose it's a little bit easier to stomach if you're a Cougars fan that Miami is in the Final Four. Miami's been a good basketball program over the last couple of years. I can attest to that as somebody who's followed a lot of ACC basketball, given that my alma mater plays there. Miami's a better basketball program than Syracuse is right now. There's no debating that. It bums me out because I think of Miami as a football school whenever I think about them, but it's been a hell of a run for them. And I think there's a lot that you can point the finger at the Cougs for in this game. You do have to say, though, that Miami shot the bleeping lights out of the building on Friday. I don't know what the Cougs really could have done in a game like that, because anyone who has watched them all season long, you know that this team struggles to score points often. right? We've talked about this. It's been frustrating. And it's one of the things where with Kelvin Sampson, you know that you're going to get high energy. You're going to get defense. But in this game, I'm not even sure you had that. B. Hannon on twitch.tv/ESPN975 says he blames Kelvin Sampson. When three of your most senior players look tired and off, you probably worked them too much during the week. Well, there's also the whole, hey, Marcus Sasser's groin, was that 100%? Jamal Shedd, was his knee 100%? Like, there's factors here that you could say, hey, well, that's why things went down the way that they did. But to me, it's the inconsistent offense more than anything. He continues on Twitch, game plan off as well. Miami's so much faster in transition, hitting long shots, and we were giving it to them. Larrañaga by far outcoaches Sampson. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. I think that the thing that sucks about this is that you know that this team is not going to be the same one next year. And it's not like the Cougars are a stranger to the Sweet 16 or the NCAA tournament. You feel pretty good about the direction of the program, but things are going to change next year when they find themselves in the Big 12, in a year where you're a one seed and a year where you did look at times like the best team in basketball. Obviously, that loss to Alabama, a very frustrating one given the way that they blew it, and not a lot of testing along the way after that. You do wonder, though, if that was a season that could have been remembered forever, that now is sort of forgotten and a bit of a disappointment. I think you have to call it a disappointment. They were the number one team three times this year, and yeah, the Sweet 16 making it that far, that's nothing to say, oh, that's disgusting, at, you know, but the expectations were that you get to the Elite Eight at the very least, if not to the actual Final Four. You didn't get there, and you lost in a game where you didn't look good, and the totality of the tournament, you started off slow in every single one of the three games. So going into the Big 12, how will they fare? Jay Billis was on the Wheelhouse yesterday. Here is what the college basketball foremost, I guess, expert had to say about that.
Won't be the same record. You'll take a couple more losses here and there, but so what? You know, it'll be more fun. I mean, when you see the success in the tournament, no league can claim that somehow, you know, our conference makes us better in the tournament, because it certainly hasn't worked out that way, at least for the Big 12. I mean, last year the ACC had not one of its best years as far as regular season and seeding and all that, and they had three teams in the Elite Eight and outpace some of the other leagues. And this year, the Big 12 was the best league. And, you know, how many Final Four teams do they have? It's just sort of a mixed bag in the tournament with the way things work. But, yeah, I think Houston will do really well in the Big 12. I mean, they do so well in non-conference schedule, the teams they play. There's no reason they wouldn't do equally as well in Big 12 play.
I'm optimistic, but it's going to be tougher. And I imagine the first year, they're more likely to be like a six seed or below, just given how tough that conference is. I think it'll take some acclimation, and I'm looking forward to it. I think we're going to care a lot more about the Cougs if they play, no offense, good schools on a more regular basis. Not to say the AAC is a bad conference, but also if they play schools that people care about locally, I think there will be a lot more buzz about this team, because there has been a bit of a lull since the Alabama game. It's like, all right, well, let's see what happens in the tournament. And of course, this is what happened. As far as UT goes, also falling at the hands of Miami. Seemed like they had that one in the bag at one point. Miami ultimately wins. After the game, Rodney Terry, the interim coach, who looks a lot like Gus Fring from Breaking Bad, he really does, had this to say, and you wondered, is he even going to get another shot next year?
Not only will I just love these guys for the time I got a chance to coach them, I'm going to love them for the rest of their lives. I'll be at their weddings. I'll be with them, you know, talking to those guys when they have their firstborn. And, you know, it was all about this team, man. And I enjoyed every single day of this journey with this group. And I'm going to really miss it. I'm really miss working with this group. So it was never about me. It was always about these guys. And I love these guys.
I don't think he thought he was going to get the job, but he did. They gave him a 5-year extension. And I'm happy for him. I think to come in and do what he did with that program, totally different expectations once Chris Beard was out, right? I mean, did anyone think that they were going to get that far, that they were going to stay towards the top of college basketball? Maybe coaching is a tad overrated in basketball. I mean, we sort of saw that, you know, with at least the beginning of this year with Boston Celtics and Ime Udoka being out. They were fine. But I think when you look at UT going forward, I'm just wondering how long this guy's actually going to get. Good for him getting the 5 years of security, but how long is it going to take for the UT boosters to get impatient? How long? Especially after they have just hired Chris Beard. And I imagine there's some UT boosters who are like, wait, we're sticking with him? We want a sexy name. We want something flashy. It's one of the big problems, I think, with UT. You just got a lot of people that got money that all want their opinion to be heard. And a lot of them, I think, are talking out of their ass. Never good. When there's people and money, they're involved with you, and they have no idea what they're talking about. But I'm happy for Rodney Terry. It's a shame, though, that both the Cougs and UT fell to bleeping Miami. So I guess we hate Miami in this weekend's tournament, and we also hate UConn. If you listen to this show, you hate UConn. You're not allowed to root for them. You have to leave.
Wait, what?
You're not allowed to root for UConn.
Oh.
No. You don't get to.
Dan
no.
Hurley? Come on.
Bleep Dan Hurley. Bleep that whole school. Bleep that whole state. It's worthless. Just sell it. Sell it back to the Native Americans, okay? It's disgusting. I mean, oh, wow, there's a lot of fancy houses there. Yes, it's poor people from New York City who couldn't afford housing in Manhattan, so they go to Connecticut, which connects New England to New York. No one in New England recognizes Connecticut as a part of it. And, oh, look, I'm a Yankees-Patriots fan. Go leave. Just leave. No one likes you. I almost said something mean. I wouldn't go that far. But Connecticut is either, one, just like the most bougie people who can't quite afford to live in New York City, or it's Aaron Hernandez. That's it. There's no middle ground. It's just those two things. It's a terrible state. Get rid of it, okay? Bleep UConn. I can't believe they won 4 national titles. They're going to win a 5th. It is ridiculous. And Syracuse has 1-1. Ridiculous. Syracuse is a dump of a town. It's better than Stores Bleep in Connecticut. Ugh. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming up next, something that I have realized about covering Houston sports over the last couple of years. It's just a matter of time before an athlete's going to leave us. Hey, Paul, I'm just going out to get a carton of milk. I'm just going out to get a pack of cigarettes. Next thing I know, 15 years have passed by and I've been sitting on that porch and I've grown a full beard. Who's going to leave Houston next? Because one of sports' biggest stars is on his way out of his team. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.